Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head-on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. And it is awesome to be with you from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And welcome to my home. You can look right outside here and see the traffic going down Holcomb Street right into the medical center. But it's just an honor to have each and every one of you here with us tonight. And I want to give you a money back guarantee. Tonight is going to inspire you. Tonight is going to challenge you. Tonight is going to be emotional. But it's going to be one of those hours, I believe, that if you invest in us, you're going to be able to leave with some truths and some tools that you can even use in your own personal life with you, your family, your friends, or somebody else that's going through a trial or a storm in their life. And let's just huddle up and be honest here. We all go through storms in our lives, but this storm and these storms that you're going to see tonight with our guests are unbelievably large. And the resiliency that they have within them, I am going to be honored to share with you tonight. And I want to pick inside of their brains and inside of their hearts and their spirits and their endurance of how are you getting through and what do you lean on. So we're really going to learn some things tonight. And we really would love and welcome all of your thoughts. And you can call in to the beautiful people of BBS Radio Station at 888-627-6008. And they will treat you as professional as they can and pass you right on through with a question or comment. Or my son, Curtis, in the United States Army, someplace on the other side of the world, is looking at our Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And you can comment through there. And if there's any questions there, he can patch in and or send to us and let us know what your thoughts are. Next week, we have an unbelievable, probably next 2 months of guests. It's really going to be different, kind of stirred up a little bit. But next week, the CEO and the founder of Mission Generation, Rocky Malloy, is going to be our guest. And he has some experience that is going to be awesome to share with you. And that'll be next week live at 8 p.m. Next Sunday night. So I know you won't want to miss that. Tonight, though, and I kind of want to give them a couple minutes because we have a lot of people trying. My phone is going off the hook with people trying to get on. How do you get on there, Greg? But we're trying to get everybody on so they can watch. You can watch through YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and there's so many other places you can watch. But we're literally around the world tonight. But before we get our guests on, I introduce them. I wrote down just a couple minutes ago, and you can see how, I don't know if you can see it from the light, but I just jotted it down on a piece of paper. Some thoughts of what I have learned in my darkest times, in my hardest pains, and when adversity has hit me and blindsided me, and it's just like I didn't know what to do. And as I wrote these down, I want to get eventually later on in the program our guest opinion of these. So you may want to write these down if you have a chance, because it may be something that you may be able to use this week or in the coming weeks. And there's just 5, 6, or 7 thoughts, and I'm just going to say them, and then we're going to get to our guests this evening. Number one, when I'm hurting, I need to focus on what I have and not what I don't have. And there's a lot of times that I always focus on what I'm in absence of, and I overlook the blessings of what I have. Another truth that I wrote down: every now and then it's okay to fall apart for just a little while. I don't want to prove myself to always be the strongest person in the room, because I'm not. I don't want to always think that I can make it through every challenge without crying, without hurting, without screaming out why, without doubting, without fearing. And so it's okay to fall apart for a little while, every now and then. Two, life is fragile, sudden, and shorter than we often think. And we need to realize that. And sometimes when things happen to us, it causes us to understand the importance of what life is all about. Number four, every challenge in life is an educational assignment. What am I going to learn from this one? What can I use to help other people out? What can I use to challenge my own character and become a better person? And I'm really interested in what our guests tonight have learned through these experiences that they've had. Another one: even when it's hard to move, always try to take one tiny move forward, no matter where you're at. Sometimes it seems impossible to give one positive move forward, but always try to, no matter where you're at in life. Another one: life's not easy. It's never promised to be. It's never going to be. And I think when we tell our children, hey, I'll take care of it, son or daughter, and always be there as a parent to take care of every problem, sometimes we're doing them a disservice. We need to teach them how to fix their own problems, because life is not easy. And the last one, and then we'll get to our guest: let others in when you're in the darkest places. So when I find, and it took me 45 years to figure that one out, because I'm getting older as each day goes by, that when dark times hit me, I wanted to be alone. And I truly found out just in the last few years that when I'm in those dark places in my own life, that's when I need to let other people in. And we're going to find out more about that tonight. So that's kind of where we're going to go tonight, but I want you to hear their story. I want you to hear their words. I want you to see the impact on their lives and their faith. And tonight is an honor to have two of my dear friends from our church family, but more importantly, just from family, just from being friends. And there's nothing better than having true friends. And Jay and Gloria Mays from Houston, Texas. They're Houstonians with me here, and they are our guests tonight. So I want to welcome them. They've been on the program before, telling their story, but the story has taken several different side roads that no one expected, and we're fixing to share that with you this evening. Jane, Gloria, can you hear me tonight?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Come on in.
How's it going?
Going well. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Doing okay.
Well, you look awesome. You look awesome tonight. I know there's a lot of people that haven't seen you in a long time that's watching tonight, and they wish they could just put their arms around you and give you big hugs. But welcome to the program. And I just kind of want, first of all, if nobody ever seen the first show and they don't know you and they're in Australia tonight, because we have a lot of people, I don't know why Australia watches, but we have a lot of people from Australia and around the world that listen in. From England and different places. And if they don't know and never heard your story, just tell us a little bit about you, Jay and Gloria, how long you've been married, what's been happening, what you do, and then a little bit about the story as we ease into this. So the floor is yours.
Well, we've been married for 21 years now. We met at a former workplace is where we met, you know, What brought us together was our love of football. We're both sports fanatics. And that what grew us. And, you know, at the beginning, it was the center of our relationship. Over time, as we started to grow in our faith, you know, my grandfather was very instrumental in regards to both of us growing our faith beyond where it was. And it was a good thing for both of us is that we were both able to grow together and make the step forward and both dedicate ourselves, you know, to Christ and making sure that was a rock steady part of our life. That was a focus for us. And, you know, even through all of this, it continues to be a focus, and it's what helps us get through on a day-to-day basis, part of what gives us hope through all of this.
So when I was on the show the last time, we discussed about me being in renal failure and how my uncle donated to me. And now going back into renal failure with the transplanted kidney. I didn't experience a lot last time because everything happened so fast as far as the donation of the kidney. And I'm sorry, Greg, if I get emotional.
No, that's okay, because I will too. So,
but this time around, just being on dialysis for a while, I have experienced a whole lot of different things. And I never would have thought that a human could go through this.
Yeah. The first time,
go ahead, Jay.
The first time when she had her first transplant in 09, she started in dialysis, but she didn't have to go through a prolonged process because her uncle pretty quickly decided he was going to donate. And so before she even got, you know, into the setup of dialysis in regards to the added fistula into her arm, they added the fistula, but they never got to use it because the transplant process started so fast. And so we...
So the waiting period wasn't long, hardly at all. There wasn't really a big search. It was just a simple 1, 2, 3, of course, with stress, unbelievably, because you're having a transplant of an organ. And so this was different.
Yes, definitely. Because
how long did that kidney last? You said you did this in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
What's the average stay for a kidney from what you've understood over the years?
Well, I thought it was a lifetime, guaranteed. But I mean, every time I talked, just speaking to my nephrologist, he was like, 10 years, it lasted about 10 and a half years. And he said that was a very good length of time for the kidney to last.
Did you ever in the back of your mind, either one of you think, oh my, we're getting to 6, 7, 8 years because everything was good, right?
Right.
Everything on the level was clicking along pretty well.
Never had any thought that there would be another issue because she was going to her doctor's appointment. She was doing her checkups. You know, her labs were coming back fine. There were no issues. There was no red flags. There was no like, you know, hey, you need to watch this or you need to watch that. Everything was good for years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden.
When did you start noticing that, something's going awry?
Well, we were, as you recall, our niece, Jelly Bean.
I love her.
She did cheerleading.
Yeah.
Competitive cheer. And we were traveling a lot. but my parents were noticing my health declining. When we were going to the convention centers in Dallas and Atlanta, I just couldn't walk them anymore. You know, they had to get me wheelchairs so they could take me to the convention center. Shortness of breath. I just couldn't do it any longer. And when I had a spare time, because I, you know, she was living with us, I finally went back to the doc. I went to the doctor, and that's when he told me, he was like, "Your creatinine is it's not good." And he told me at that time, he's like, "You probably have like 15% of you usage of your kidney." And I was just, it took me aback because I didn't know what to say. And Jay was traveling for his company that he had just started for training. And COVID was just starting. The pandemic was just, they were starting to shut down things. And I was like, "You need to come back home," because he was going to stay
another week.
Yeah, another week. And I said, "I need you. I need you to come back home because I just don't know what to do."
Glory, did you know deep within when you started knowing, because you said your mom and dad noticed it almost first. Did you know inside that, hey, wait, I'm not able to do what I could? And was it just a denial? Was it a deflection? Or what kind of emotion was going on with you? It was like, wait, I don't have the energy I used to.
Right.
I'm not able to do it. What was going on?
I wasn't in denial. I knew something was going on. Yeah. I just didn't know what. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I knew something was probably going on. It was just getting it to the doctor to see what was going on.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're at the beginning of the COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. You're starting to now have to make hospital visits more regularly, and you're realizing that things are starting to go into a tailspin mm-hmm. with this kidney, that it's about out.
Right. So I got real sick at the house, and I mean, it was to the point where my sister had to come and spend the night and help Jay try to figure out, you know, what should we do. And the next morning, I also had a cough, and the next morning I finally told Jay and my sister, I said, take me into the hospital. And at that time, my doctor was like, "Go to the Methodist Clear Lake," because he didn't want me in the medical center because of the pandemic and how full the hospitals were here in Houston in the med center. And so I did. And the weirdest part, Greg, was Jay leaving me in the parking lot where they triaged me, and they didn't let him in. And, you know, I was at a point where I was out of it. I couldn't, you know, because of my hemoglobin, it was so low. And it was just the weirdest thing, because I've always had someone stay with me, or, you know, if I couldn't speak for myself, they spoke for me. And during that time when I was in the emergency, when they finally took me inside and I was in the emergency room, it's like something just overcame me where I knew God was with me, because then I was able to be more alert, because I knew Jay wasn't in there with me. I was more alert and able to speak to the doctors and tell them what was going on and what I was feeling.
She was out of it before on the way up there. As a matter of fact, I remember on the car ride to the hospital that day, I remember looking over to her and seeing her face, and she was, you know, out of it for the most part. And a lot of concern going through my mind at that time.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the side angles of the devastation of COVID is that you have to face it alone when you're in the hospital, even whether you have COVID or not, because nobody was allowed to go in and be with them at that point.
Right.
We're just now letting up on that now. But okay. I'll tell you what, we're going to take our first break. Okay. But on the other side of this break, I want to kind of take it up to, okay, now you're sick, renal failure, and the body starts reacting to that in some unbelievable ways. And we're going to dig into that just on the other side of this first commercial break. 888-627-6008. And you will not want to miss these last two segments of this program. It's going to change your life. Hang with us. We'll be right back. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. All right, welcome back. I'm getting texts from everybody. Friends up in Canada are sending their regards to you in Alaska, and all the way around the world, is people's hearts are getting stirred because they know there's more to the story. 888-627-6008, and there's several people commenting on the Facebook page, so thank you for that. Thank you, Bernice, for typing in all of those statements that I said. So if you miss one, they are all right there on the page. So when we get to those a little bit later, you'll have them. Okay, Jay and Glory. Glory, you're in the hospital at Clear Lake Methodist, and Clear Lake Methodist is a wonderful place to be. Never would knock a hospital. They've been kind to you, but that was good wisdom at that day because COVID was running rampant down here, and especially in that part of the medical center. So you're there, not able to have anybody around. You found the strength to tell people the doctors what was going on with you and try to get some wisdom. What ended up happening, and how did things start spiraling downward so fast in this story?
So during that time, there's two different types of dialysis, the hemodialysis and the peritoneal dialysis. And my doctor really recommended for me to get on peritoneal. And what peritoneal is where you connect yourself and you dialyze at night while you're sleeping. So with doing peritoneal, I had the freedom of, you know, if I needed to go somewhere, I could take the machine and the medication with me and I could do it. And so the Arctic freeze had come through last year, and my parents were like, they have a generator in their home, and they picked me up on Valentine's Day and said, you need to come stay with us because in case you lose electricity or something happened, you have it here and you'll be able to still use your machine. Right. And I said, okay, first I was hesitant because it was Valentine's Day, but Jay was working that day. But he was like, I'm not going to get home till like 8:00. And I was like, well, I might as well go with them. So I came to my parents' house, and as y'all know what happened, you know, like the power went out for many people. And I've been here at my parents' house since. We just celebrated a year being here at my parents' home. And I got sick again. Well,
she had hurt her ankle in Christmas, and she was in a cast. And in the process, on that Valentine's weekend, she was walking through the house and stumbled on a cord. And no, you were taking a shower.
Yeah,
She was taking a shower on Valentine's Day, and she had a cast on her foot, and she got the cast wet. So in an attempt to dry the cast, they put a blow dryer on her foot. And it was too hot for her foot and wound up leaving third-degree burns.
The reason why I didn't feel it is because I was dealing with neuropathy on my feet and my legs. And so I didn't feel the burn.
The nerve endings weren't as
So down towards the ankle area, the feelings was starting to be affected because of the non-circulation.
Right. Correct.
Right.
And so they tried to dry her toes. She wound up getting some burns on her feet, and we were still kind of, you know, unable to set an appointment with the doctor because of the freeze. So her dad wound up cutting off the cast. A few days later, we wound up getting a chance to finally get into the hospital. And it started a process of trying to heal, but because of her circulation in her feet, it wasn't healing properly. So over the next few months, we wound up going through, you know, the orthopedic doctor, we wound up going through wound care at Methodist, and, you know, all of them helped us extremely, but her body wasn't cooperating.
And by that time, I had gone through three surgeries for just a couple of toe amputations. And then next thing you know, they had to do just all the toes. And then next 4th of July of last year, we noticed that my finger was turning a different color, my middle finger. And Jay was like, I need to take you in. But at that time, they started focusing on my left foot and not even looking at my hands. And they did another surgery because of my left foot having the circulation. There was no wounds or anything, but I started developing ischemia what they call gangrene on the left foot. And so they did another surgery to remove those toes.
And over time, one foot was healing better than the other, but neither foot was healing good enough in order to recover from the surgeries. So by the time November rolls around, she wound up having...
Oh, no. October. I was back in the hospital because I was sick again and needed another blood transfusion. And they realized that the peritoneal dialysis was not cleaning my body like it was supposed to. It was leaving a lot of toxins still in my body. Even I was just in the hospital and my doctor had left me on the peritoneal for 17 hours and my blood work did not come back good. And so that's when he was like, we're going to have to switch your type of dialysis and now put you on the hemodialysis. And that's where the nurse comes and sticks you and, you know, pulls your blood and your blood gets clean. Your blood comes out and then your blood goes back in. So they did that in October. And by that time, my doctor, my orthopedic doctor was like, you know, your feet are not doing so well. and they were turning color. They were turning black. And he was like, we're going to have to do a below the knee amputation, because they did all kinds of Dopplers and
checking the blood flow.
Right.
And the blood flow to her feet. It actually discovered that she didn't, I think they said you have 3 arteries that go down to your foot. She only had 2 of them that were working, and only 1 of them was working good. And that one didn't work all the way down to the toes. So all efforts for her to heal, you know, regardless of what they did, were going to be unsuccessful.
And Greg, by this time, I'm getting into a broken state. I just felt broken. I mean, as you know, I didn't want visitors. I didn't want to see anybody. My sister had to keep all my girlfriends abreast of what was going on, so they could pray for me. I know Jay was keeping Esther abreast of what was going on, so the church family could pray for me. I just didn't want to have anything to do with
outside
with God at that time.
So the point of the realization that you were going to have both of your feet amputated just below the knee on both legs, that's when that darkness, that brick wall came up. I'm done. God, what have you done? And you start pushing back, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a dark place, right?
Right. Yes. And, you know, we scheduled the leg amputation the day before Thanksgiving. And there I was again in the hospital, probably last year for the 4th or 5th time. Or more, getting another surgery done.
Understanding that there is still that option to have, because they hadn't found a donor at that point that matched.
No. Okay.
So that's
later. I've had my cousin's wife wanted to donate, and so she was going through the process.
Okay.
So, and I'll get to that point. Oh, but when I was in the hospital in October, they had told me that I had had a heart attack. Did not even know. And we were kept asking, like, when? And they were like, between July and September. We can't tell, but she had a heart attack. And I was in just disbelief because I couldn't. I didn't have any chest pains. I didn't have any signs of a heart attack. And so now we're dealing with that. And, you know, they're dealing with my heart and doing more tests on my heart, making sure it's strong to go through surgeries. And my parents remember telling them when I went through the amputation below the knee,
that your heart did good through the surgery.
Right, that my heart was very strong and that I was a very strong girl.
Yeah. Yeah, Frank mentioned that to me the other day, that you are very, very strong. And that's one of the things that is keeping things as positive as they can be right now, because of that strength that you have inside.
Right.
So, yeah.
So through all this, we've been blessed to have family and friends around us that have encouraged us, that have taken care of us, that have listened to us and cried with us and, you know, been good friends, basically.
Yeah.
And help keep our hopes alive. And we're definitely thankful for that, you know.
Yeah. Glory, during that dark time, how did you eventually break through that? What was it that, hey, I'm not going to sit here. I'm going to go through this, and we're going to make it through this. What was the turning point for that?
I want to say the new year. The new year was the
this past year, this past January.
Yeah, 2022 was the... you know, by this point, my hands have turned color because of circulation.
Okay. Leave those up there, Gloria. What kind of pain is involved? I can't even imagine. Because this is exactly what happened to your feet. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Greg, it's miserable.
I can't imagine.
It's miserable. I'm at a point where I can't sleep at night. I am seeing the pain doctor for my pain management, but it's not working. So I go see him again on Wednesday. And to see Jay's face and to see my parents not being, they can't do anything for me. And the way I let it out is like crying, and we pray. And I always just ask the Lord, just take the pain away. Take the pain away. If anyone I'm going to look to is him, because I know he can work miracles. And I can't sleep. I can't sleep at night. I'm up all night pretty much. Because of the pain. I'm to the point where I don't even sleep in my bed any longer, in the bedroom. Because I need to let Jay sleep so he can go to work. But yes, it's miserable.
And the reason this is happening to your fingers and now all the way down, and you're starting to lose the skin all the way down to the wrist, is because that kidney doesn't function enough to filter all these toxins and calcium and all these things, and it's kind of landing there in the circulation just isn't. Is that
right? When I was on peritoneal dialysis, yes, sir. Now that I'm on hemodialysis, things are so much different. My labs are clean. My hemoglobin is staying up. Phosphorus is low. It's just the difference that we see in my lab work compared to when I was doing peritoneal.
But at this point in time, there's no getting life back to those fingers.
No.
I mean, they're pretty well. And if at this point, what happens? What's the next stage? You mentioned, I think, the other day that they just simply drop off.
Yes, they can. If I don't have the amputation by surgery, they just auto amputate. And that's one part that I do not want to see. I think that's just going to be the weirdest and scariest part that I could possibly go through. The reason I was mentally ready to have the surgery on my hand, originally they wanted to amputate when they did my legs, but when I woke up from surgery that time, I was like, there's just no way. I couldn't go through the pain and the phantom pains with my legs and my hands at the same time. There's just no way.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
We're back. So you're still on the list.
Yes.
Of being an acceptable kidney donor. You have the donor.
Right. So
recipient, I mean. Yeah.
The beginning. So my cousin's wife, there's like 3-step processes of her getting tested. She was already in step 2, already going into step 3. And that's where they do the cross match of our blood. My blood and her blood. And they stopped it because of everything that I was going through.
You're fine.
And so when the new year came, I emailed my transplant coordinator and I asked her to give me a call. And I told her, look, I'm going through all of this because I need a kidney. I need a good working kidney so I can get back to where I was. I said, yes, losing my limbs, I can't bring that back, but I don't want to go through anything else. And I need a good working kidney.
Right.
I said, why can't we do the cross match testing? At least so I'll know if she's a match or not. I know I can't schedule the surgery.
But we wanted to know at least if we need to take another avenue instead of continuously waiting for our living donor at the moment to be verified. You know, if she wasn't going to be verified, There are other options they can take where instead of her giving Gloria the kidney, she could give her kidney to someone else and they could mix and match however many number of people necessary in order to find a certain group of people the kidney that they need.
Right, because she's willing to go through the swap program. So my coordinator said, okay, she's like, I need a new blood sample from you. This was at the beginning of the year, and just let me know when you send it, and we'll do the cross-match testing. And the only thing I know right now is that our antibodies did not reject, which was a good thing.
Good.
So basically, my donor is on just standby. She's just waiting. She's just waiting for them to say, yes, you are a match, and let's move forward. Because I was, like I told my coordinator, I said, you know, if she's not a match, you know, then she can start the swap program process because I don't know how long that takes.
Right.
And we can start doing that.
So it was a definite benefit to hear that there weren't any antibodies. So, you know, we can move forward with the or at least to another step in regards to the transplant. And yeah. Not too long after we got that news, we had to put Gloria back in the hospital again. She was having some internal bleeding. It was coming out in her stool. And, you know, at one side you look at it like, man, another trip to the hospital. You know, she's already been in the hospital just this year alone 5 times.
This
year. How many times you've been?
One time.
No. Bleeding.
Okay.
That's it. Okay.
2022 is one time.
Maybe they just ran together. So it turned out to be a benefit that she had the internal bleeding because in the process of them doing exams on her for the internal bleeding, they found out she had a blood clot in her heart.
No signs whatsoever. And I give God the glory because, oh, and after they did the endoscopy, they could not find any active bleeding. And yeah. Nothing was, my stool went back to normal.
Okay, now that's how I want to do this last segment, because I really think we see in the middle of darkness, still a hand that is guiding. You went into the hospital because there was blood in your stool. Mm-hmm. And because you were in the hospital, they found this blood clot that they never would have found if you were just sitting at home watching Oprah. I don't even think Oprah's on anymore. But anyway, if you were sitting at home, they would have never found that because there's no way to discover that. So do you see that as a divine intervention guiding you to the place you need to be? How do you deal with that?
You know, at first, it was like, oh, another hospital stay, you know, don't want to go. But while I was in the hospital and everything was coming back where I was in, then you find the active bleeding, but they found the blood clot. I told Mom and Dad and Jay, I said, this is all God. I said, I praise Him because He never leaves us, no matter what circumstance or what storm you're going through. It may be a health storm or a marriage or financials. He's there with us. He never leaves us alone. We're never alone. Yeah. And I praise Him because I wouldn't have gone to the hospital. And, you know, they had me on blood thinners while I was in the hospital. And, you know, they sent me home with blood thinners.
Yeah, and somebody with internal bleeding getting blood thinners.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah. We're kind of starting to wind down to the end. And I want to get inside of your resiliency, of what it takes to get through days like this. And when I threw out those statements at the beginning of the program, focus on what you have and not what you don't have. Does that resonate at all with you and your marriage and your relationship and your family?
Yes. The biggest part when I was in my darkness was because I had lost a lot of my independence.
Yeah.
I just can't do any. I can't even feed myself. You know, I can't. My mother has to bathe me. A lot of my independence, and I felt like I feel at times I'm a burden to my family. You know, my dad reminds me all the time that I'm not a burden to him, and I will never be a burden to him. But that's the way I feel.
Yeah.
And I have to take one day at a time, Greg, and pray and cry. You know, there's just some days that I can't even get through the day without crying. I'm like a roller coaster with my emotions. And when I have the days where I'm just crying, my mom is always she's like, just let it out. Yeah. Don't keep it inside. Just let it out.
So that second statement, that it's okay every now and then to break down. Uh-huh. That's true, right?
Uh-huh.
So just don't hold it in. And Jay, you're the man and you're a big man. I mean, I have to look up to you in so many ways, not only because of who you are, but just because of your size. I told you. How does that resonate with you? Is there some days that it's okay just to scream out?
Yeah.
Cry out.
I mean, you can't bottle it all in. And Gloria will tell you, I'm one that will bottle it all in. But
us men do that.
Yeah, it's impossible to continuously hold it all in without at some point letting it go. You have to have something that you do that releases the stress, the pressure that's upon you to go through all this stuff. Otherwise, you know, you'll go crazy, you know. And I realize some of my family might say I'm crazy for other reasons, but they can't use this one as an excuse.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, stress relief and the ability to acknowledge the point where you're at is very important. I mean, you have to come to realization, this is where we are. And, you know, regardless of how we got here, there are things that we can do to improve our situation.
And that's the way we look at it. Because I won't be able to make it through all of them, and I probably wrote down too many right before the program, but what have you both learned from this unbelievable journey that very few people have gone down? What have you learned? What's the educational lesson here that you've learned deep inside?
That I still have a purpose.
Yes,
that's
you
why
do.
That's why I'm still here.
Yes.
And that's the main thing that I've learned going through all of this is my purpose in life and living for my nephews and my nieces and just watching them grow and still experience, being able to experience the things that they do. I could not do everything, but, you know, when Alex's boys come over here, when she brings them and they're just running around, it brings life to me.
Yeah.
And they're just the cutest things ever. And I'm happy. I'm happy when I have visitors. I'm happy when I'm able to have company and just the second time this year, you know, I went to the rodeo on Thursday and got out, and Alex had coordinated for all my girlfriends to be there with me, and we all had the same shirt on, and it was the cutest thing ever. And, you know, that just made me smile, and I was just happy.
Yeah, I saw that video this morning, and that was awesome. That was neat.
It was.
It's nothing better than good family and friends, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And what gets me through is I know people are praying for me, and I know he's listening.
So when did you said at the beginning of the year, you kind of went from the dark place to say, wait, it's a new me. It's a new mm-hmm. year. Let's see what we can do. Mm-hmm. How much does faith play into being able to wake up in the morning and see sunshine inside?
A lot. A lot.
I would say that throughout all of this that we've gone through, we've been able to see, you know, seeds planted here and there, you know, different things happening that just out of the blue that have helped to take care of us through all that we've gone through. We've had friends, you know, that have come through, you know, just to encourage her in times when she's struggling. You know, they've never given up on her. They've held fast to make sure that she stays strong. You know, it's the seeds that it's the little things that get taken care of that you'd be like, oh, this is going to be just a, ugh. And all of a sudden, oh, I don't have to worry about that. What happened?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, you know, cool. I don't have to deal with that. You know, it's a blessing for sure. And those blessings have constantly been coming throughout this whole process, despite, you know, even, you know, our continents being down at certain points.
Yeah. Tell you what, they're giving me a 2-minute warning, but we're getting right down to the last lap. Is there anything, Gloria or Jay, that you want to share with people that that may be listening tonight that's going through something that they just don't think, they just don't think they're going to be able to make it through? What, you know, Gloria, look right into that camera. Tell them what you know to encourage them that there's hope.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Because if you give up and...
You can't move forward if you give up.
Yeah.
There's no way to advance and be prosperous if you give up, you know. It doesn't matter how many times you fall. It matters how many times you get back up.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. So, I'll tell you what, I thank you for sharing. I thank you for your genuineness, authenticity, and just your transparency of, hey, this is what's going on in life. And I honestly
I want to share that, you know, with everything that we have discussed, I should be walking pretty soon because my prosthetics have been measured for my legs. And so I've been happy about that. You know, at least, you know, either Dad picks me up to go from one room to another or to put me in the wheelchair, Dad or Jay. But I'm very excited about getting my prosthetics and my legs. Hopefully, you know, we'll do something about my hands pretty soon.
Well, that's great. There's something to look forward to because that's going to be wonderful.
Yes. And just a little humor. I've always had long hair and I have just chopped it all off. And the reason and the reason why I chopped it off is because Jay can't do ponytails.
Well, Jay can't do hair. Look at his head.
And it was just so much easier for me to just cut my hair off. And
well, you look great.
I miss my long hair, but they tell me short hair looks good on me too. So I
looks good. Well, thank you both so much. I love you dearly. Thank you for being on.
Love
and,
you too.
And I'm looking through. There's all kinds of comments, and my phone is just vibrating like crazy. Thanks so much. We're out of time, but I want to let you know there's a lot of people that love you, support you, praying for you, and if there's anything that we can ever do, we're there. But thank you. There is something on the other side of this that is going to impact so many people's lives. You're going to go, wow, God's even better than what I ever dreamed. Yeah. And it's going to happen. Sure. You're a special couple. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll go to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And folks, we always like to end every program like we do each and every week. And I wish I had another hour because I know we could just talk and share and tell you more about who they are, the specialness of that couple. But as we always want to close each program out each week, no matter what you're going through, I promise you, there's always hope. I promise you. Hang in there. Thank you so much, Jay and Gloria. God bless you. Have an awesome week. And join us right here next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.